حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد. On the seerat of the Prophet, we have reached a point where now it is imminent that the event of Hijrat is taking place. The Prophet has been invited by the people of Medina, the Mu'mineen of Medina. He has sent a teacher to them so that they can learn Islam, and their Islam and Iman can be verified through the teacher. And after a year of work, the Mu'mineen return to invite the Prophet and the Muslims to move to Medina. The Prophet takes an oath from them in regards to them protecting the believers who move there and to giving protection to them and helping them and assisting them in establishing their lives in Medina. And the Mu'mineen in Medina accept that. And now you see that as soon as they return, they work in order to build the situation so that those who are going to move from Makkah to Medina can be helped, can be established. And because of the fact that those who are going to move from Makkah, they're going to leave everything behind. And they're going to move to a place where they don't know anyone. And after the Prophet, he took this, now the event of Hijrat is imminent. The people from Medina, they took the oath and left on the 14th of Zilhajj. And on the 1st of Rabiul Awwal is when the Prophet moved out of Makkah. So in a little bit over 2 months, 2.5 months to be exact, was the time when this whole event of Hijrat happened. It's not a long time for such a massive migration to take place, an exodus from Makkah to Medina. It's not an easy thing how it happened. But for us to understand, Allah, He remembers this event, and He reminds the Prophet of this event in this ayat of Surah Anfal, in which it is said, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah, He says that my beloved Prophet, remember that time when those who disbelieved had devised plans against you that they might confine you, isolate you, or that they might kill you and slay you, or they might rid you away from Makkah. So all these plans were made by them. Yamkuruna, or Yamkuruna, Allah says that they were making these plans and plots. Wa Yamkurullah, and Allah was also making a plan. While they were making those plans, Allah was also making a plan. Wallahu khairul makirin. And Allah is the best of planners. In other words, whatever Allah plans will become a reality. There's no doubt regarding that. And hence you see that the idea of the kuffar was now that they are not able to stop him. Slowly the idea was in their minds that they need to do something to slay him, to kill him, to get rid of him. And hence the idea of hijrat from there started. The hijrat, this migration of the Prophet was not easy. It wasn't easy emotionally, as well as many other reasons. But just to give you an idea, my friends, the reason why hijrat happened was that now in Makkah, being a Muslim and maintaining your Islam, maintaining their Islam had become difficult. And because it has become difficult and they were losing their Islam, or they would lose their lives, and hence now you see that in those situations, the idea behind this event was to go to another place, to find another place of livelihood and living where you may practice your religion openly, where you are able to practice your religion, where you are able to worship Allah, where you are able to do what Allah has asked you to do. Even though what you're leaving behind is the most holiest city in the world, the most sacred place in the world. Really, it's like, for example, if you are living in a place like Najaf, next to the haram of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and you have a house there, and that's where you have been born, and that's why every one of your family lives, and your life is there, and for you, and if anyone now comes to you and says, okay, move to Orlando and Disney World, and the choice is there, what, Imam Ali and Disney? I mean, as a moment, you're like, why, are you crazy? I mean, why would I leave Imam Ali to go anywhere else? Right? I mean, obviously, that would be the emotion. You see, it wasn't easy for people to leave the Kaaba. Their whole lives they lived near it. Their whole lives they had. And now that they understood its value by becoming a Muslim, now to leave that to go to where? Medina? I mean, obviously now we say Makkah, Medina as two holy cities. In those days, Medina was nowhere. It was nothing. There was nothing important about Medina. There was no, it wasn't sacred at all. It was just another place. Unknown, unheard of place. So to leave Makkah to go there is not an easy thing. But Islam is teaching us here that when it comes, when the choice is between your deen and your homeland, no matter how sacred it is, then you should choose your deen and leave that homeland no matter if it's sacred. If you're not able to protect your religion in a place which is holy to us, but you are able to protect it in a place where is nowhere and unheard of, then Islam is in this incident and this event of hijrah teaching us that choose your deen over your homeland and other attachments that you have. Our ulama in explaining this hijrah have explained that this is in all attachment. Homeland is one of them. One of them is your homeland. For example, your family. Even it comes down to this, if your family becomes an obstacle and you have the choice either your family or deen, then you choose deen and leave your family. You choose deen and leave your family. And I'll give those examples from this hijrat of how it happened. This is my friends, otherwise leaving your homeland is not easy. especially if it is Makkah, especially if it is the Kaaba. You know, when Imam Hussein was forced to leave, salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. At the time he was forced to leave, and he was leaving Makkah, when he came to the last point where now he was able to see the Kaaba for the last time, it is said that he was crying so much that his beard was drenched with his tears of seeing and leaving the Kaaba. You see, it's not easy. This is something that you're attached to, something that is sacred for a mu'min. And same thing now applies to the Prophet and those who are leaving with him amongst the believers. Now they're leaving this. They don't know if they'll ever come back. They're leaving the house of Allah and they're moving away. They're going away. So it's very difficult. But when you have to make that choice, then the choice has to be deen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When Allah ordered, when the announcement was made and the people of Medina had accepted the oath and they said that they are going to protect the Muslims when they come. Until then, hijrat, migration was a choice for Muslims. They had the choice to make migration or not. And everyone, whoever felt that he should leave, he was free to leave, right? Rasulullah had already informed them beforehand that, listen, if in these type of situation, if you feel that you can do better elsewhere, then go somewhere else and practice your deen because of the persecution happening in Makkah. But then when the people of Medina had given the oath of protection, after that, hijrat became wajib. Now hijrat became wajib. And Allah explains that in Surah An-Nisa. In Surah An-Nisa, He explains it in this ayat. It was revealed to order hijrat now. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِي مَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. When the angels of death, Allah is describing their situation, because there are those Muslims who didn't want to leave, who didn't want to, even though the order came, they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay, and they stayed. And they did not make hijrat with the Prophet, even though it was wajib now. Now they had to leave Makkah. The order was for everyone to leave. Exceptions were made by Allah also. Those who were too old, those who were women and children who cannot go and this and that, yes, those exceptions were made. But when the order came, this is how Allah is describing those people who did not leave, who did not make hijrat. Right? It says that when the angels of death will come to them, to those people who have done zulm on themselves, and we'll ask them, what is your state? Why didn't you move? Why didn't you make hijrat? Why didn't you migrate from Makkah to Medina? Why didn't you go with the Prophet when he told you to go? So they says, Nahnu mustaz'afin. We were too weak to make hijrat. They will make excuses. We were too weak to make hijrat. We were too weak to make home because we didn't have enough means. We didn't have money. If we had the money, we would have gone, but we didn't have money. This will be their excuse, even though they had the means to go. They had the means to go, but they will make up this excuse. And hence, Allah now is telling them, this is a conversation that's happening between the angels and these people who did not listen to the Prophet and made migration. He says, so they'll ask them, what? Wasn't the earth of Allah wide enough and expansive enough? You could have gone. Allah made this earth wide and expansive. You could have gone anywhere. And obviously they will have no answer for that. Then Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا وَهُمُ جَهَنَّمُ. Their place will be in the hellfire. Now, these are Muslims we are talking about. Those Muslims who accepted Islam at the beginning, when there was no need for hypocrisy or nifaq. There was no need for anything like that. You see, they were Muslims. And they refused to make hijrat. Why? Because the attachment to their homeland and Makkah was such that they were ready to sacrifice deen for the Kaaba. They were ready to sacrifice that. And hence now Allah is saying, because they did not listen to Allah, now their place is in the hellfire. These people, after all the hardship they went through of accepting Islam and practicing Islam and doing worship to Allah and all these things, then Allah is saying, now you're going to go to hell. Why? Because when the obligation came to you, you did not listen to it. See, hijrat was an obligation. It was wajib on everyone to make it. And that's why you see the idea behind it was that, listen, now the order has come. You have to move out of here. Leave your homes, go. This was the order. And that's how it came. And when here we have a hadith from Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam. And he reports about one of the companions by the name of Jundab. Right? When he heard this ayat come down, and he heard this ayat and the order and the ayat that came, because he thought that the migration was optional or a choice, so he didn't make hijrat. But when he heard this ayat, he was an old person and a sick one too. He said that the ayat gave two exceptions. Those two exceptions were either they don't have the means to go, or they don't know how to escape and they don't know the route. If these two conditions apply, then okay, they're free to stay here, but they have to move. He says, listen, I have both. I have the means to leave here, and I know how to get to Medina. I know how to get there. So he told his children, come on, let's go. You need to take me out of Makkah. He said, but why? You're sick, you're old. He says, no. No matter if you're sick or old, right? I might be sick, I might be old, but this ayat is saying, I don't want to end up in the hellfire. I said, all right, let's go. So they took him out of Makkah. They went a little bit, and he started becoming sick because of the travel, the exhaustion. He was an old person, a sick person. He started becoming so sick that eventually he died. On the way, he died. And when he died, and Rasulullah heard about this death, then Allah sent an ayat for this person, Jundab. This is what the Imam is saying. Allah sent this ayat. He says, وَمِن نَاسِ مَن يُحَاجِرُ anyone who migrates and leaves their home, right? وَمَن يَخْرُجُ مِن بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Anyone who leaves their home, migrating towards Allah and His Messenger, ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ. And if death comes in the way, فَوَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Then Allah will reward him and make sure that he has reached his shahadat. This was the emotion at that time of people who were leaving. This was the idea behind it. So now when the migration started, the order of the migration, who went first, who went later, how this, you know, obviously it was done in groups, small groups were going. But the first person to migrate, and his migration obviously occurred before the announcement was made, was Abu Salma. He is the husband of Umme Salma, who later on became the wife of the Prophet. He was the first one to migrate. Let me tell you a little bit of his story so that you understand how this migration happened. I'll just explain one or two stories from the migration so that we learn some lessons from it. The story of Abu Salma migrating. If you remember, this husband and wife had also migrated to Ethiopia. They were on their way to Ethiopia, to Habasha. And on the way to Habasha, there was a rumor that spread that had said that the prophet had made peace with the kuffar and everyone should return. So listening to that rumor, they returned to Makkah to find out that it was a false rumor. When they came back to Makkah, as you have heard many times before, in order to enter Makkah, you need a half, you need a halif, someone to give you protection. And so what happened is that they couldn't find a protector because their family was against them. They didn't want them. The only person who came to help them was the uncle of Umme Salma, which is the father of Imam Ali, Abu Talib. He came and he offered them the half. So they were able to enter Makkah. But after entering Makkah, Abu Salma had said that, listen, it's difficult for us to stay here. Our tribe is against us. Abu Talib is an old man. If he dies, then there's no one who's going to look after us. And we are free to be killed by these people. So it's best that we leave here. And we should go away from here. So they decided to leave. Husband, wife, with their young son. Very young, toddler. Right? Whose name was Salama. Right? Which is the name that they got. Abu Salama and Umme Salama. So when they left, at the outskirts of the city, they were caught by their own tribes who had already guessed that they're going to leave. They were arrested, they were brought back, and Abu Salma said that, I'm a free man, I can go if I want to. But the tribe of the wife, they said that, listen, you can leave, but you are not going to take your wife with you. We are going to keep, because she's from our family, she's our sister and daughter. You cannot take her here and there. She has a home here. If you want to be with her, you can stay here. Otherwise, you go, leave. Now at this point, just imagine, the husband looking at his wife on one hand and his son on the other hand. And on the other hand is looking at his own religion. He has to make a decision. Is it my deen or is it my wife and children? What do I do? If I choose my wife and children, stay in Makkah and endanger my religion. If I choose my religion, then leave my wife and children in Makkah. What do I do? And Abu Salma made a decision that he's going to leave and protect his religion. Abu Salma left. He went to Medina. Let me explain a little bit more if you send me a salawat. At the time he went to Medina, his wife was at home with the child. Now then what happened? Abu Salma's tribe, they came to this tribe of his wife. And they said that, listen, his wife might be your daughter, but her son belongs to our tribe. So they took the child away from the mother. Now, the father is in Medina. The wife is in one place, and the child is growing up in another place. And you know what? A whole year went by like this. A whole year went by like this. Until one of the youths of the tribe of Umme Salama saw the situation, because she used to cry all the time. And she said that, I would walk on the outskirts of the city on a mountain and I will cry there at the loss of her husband, at the loss of her child. I mean, anyone in that situation would be disturbed. And by looking at that situation, she would cry there for them. And until a youth, a youngster, who saw the situation from her own tribe, he saw this and he went and he talked to her dad and he says, what is wrong with you all? You are keeping our own daughter in this situation. Why do you want to destroy her life in this? And he talked to him in such a way that they were convinced. They said, all right, we'll let her go. Right? But with the condition, and this is always ignorant people or people of Jahiliyyah make this condition. If she leaves here, our doors are forever closed on her. You know, usually happens amongst our people also. You know, if they're upset with the daughter, they say, if you leave our house, that's it. Our doors are closed. These are conditions that those ignorant people used to put on Muslims, you know, that they will not leave. And so what happened is, he said, if that's the case, I will leave. Because to her, their iman is there and kufr is here. Her choice was very easy. And he said, I will leave. And so she was leaving. And then the same youth went to the house of Abu Salma. He told them, listen, the mother is going back to the father. Why don't you give the child over to the mother? Why keep her away? So they also agreed. And they brought the child over to the mother. And the mother now was with the child. But no one's going to help her now. They all are still against her. They said, okay, here, have the child. She has the child. She goes outside of Medina to a place called Tan'im. This is the same place, if you have been to Hajj or Umrah, that if you want to make Umrah Mufrada, right, you, after Hajj, you go to Masjid Aisha, or it's also called Masjid Tan'im, the same place that was in those days on the outskirts, outside of the town. Now it's inside. It's right there. Right, so she went there because that's where everyone used to go to from Medina. She was standing there on the outskirts of the city when a kafir, an enemy of the Prophet by the name of Usman ibn Talha, saw her. And he's like, what's this woman doing out here with a child? Because it was strange to see a woman alone with a child in the middle of nowhere like this. And he went up to her and says, what's wrong? Where are you? And she explained to him what happened. So he said, you know what? Because of the, you know, he saw her desperate situation. He said, you know what? I'll help you to get to Medina. And this Usman ibn Talha, he took her to Medina. And she, when she reached there, and when they reached there, he said, listen, your husband's friends are here. Because her husband, he did not go to Medina. He had gone to a place called Quba, which is the first masjid of Islam, right? If you remember, you know, like for example, those who have been to Ziyarat. And this was on the outskirts. He stayed there, and that's where he met his wife and child. And they were united in that place after 1 year. And this was one of those stories that you see that happened in Hijrat, of people who are making Hijrat. It wasn't easy for people to make Hijrat like this. It wasn't easy for people. You know, a whole year she used to go out and she used to cry on the outskirts of the city of Makkah, right? For her husband to return. Her husband to return, her child to return. Let's imagine this. What kind of emotion is that? Maybe then we can understand how Fatima Sughra felt when she used to go on the outskirts of Medina. And wait to see the caravans that are coming. To see that, is my father in that caravan? Is my brother Ali Akbar in that caravan? And every caravan that used to come, she used to ask them, that have you seen the caravan of my father? Who's your father? He's Hussein ibn Ali. Have you seen them? Every day she used to cry there at the loneliness that she was left in. She was just a girl and she was left there. And you know how hard was it for her to leave? You see, these are the children of Ahlul Bayt. They are grown up in love. They have been grown up with so much love and care and protection and ideology, that when you look at them, you see that if they separate from their imam, then you know how hard it is for them. When Imam Hussein was leaving Medina, he ordered everyone to get ready, we are leaving. And all of them were leaving Medina. This is their home. This is where their grandfather is. This is where everything is for them. Their family is here. It's very hard. It was very hard. But at least they knew that they're all going together. So they'll have one another with them. Zainab and Umm Kulsum and Rabab, Umm Farwa. All of them were together, at least they know the family is together and everyone is getting ready. And Imam Hussain then made the exception. Everyone will go except for Fatima Zuhra. Except for her. You know, and then her heart sank when she heard the news. Why am I being left behind? Why am I being left behind? Everyone else is being taken. How will I spend my days here alone, knowing that my family is away from me? She's only a young girl, but Imam Hussein is leaving her behind. And then she starts to look around to see if there's any way that she can convince her father to change his mind. And hence she goes and she grabs Ali Asghar and starts to hold Ali Asghar very close to him. As the time is getting ready to go, everyone is looking at her, knowing that she is not going. They all felt sad, knowing they all felt the grief that she is going to be grieving in this place. And then, you know, they would approach her and they would try to console her and comfort her, but to no avail. She would be still exasperated as to why am I not going. She would be asking the question, and she knew, you know, the only person who can answer this, only person who I know would be able to convince my brother would be my Aunt Zainab. So she approaches Aunt Zainab and she says, Aunt Zainab, just why? Ask my brother, why is he leaving me behind? Ask my father, why is he leaving me behind? Take me, I will be alone here. I will be alone here. Zainab goes to her Hussein and says, my brother, why are you doing this to your daughter? Zuhra would be alone here. You know how much she is attached to Ali Asghar. You know how much Ali Asghar is attached to her. How can she live without him? How will he live without her? Why are you leaving her here? And you know Hussein, he shuddered at the thought of why he's leaving. Hussein didn't want to ponder at the reason. But Hussein, when he heard the question of Zainab, had to reply to Zainab, because this is Zainab who's asking. Her question cannot be left unanswered. Hussein looked at Zainab and said, Zainab, you know, you want to know why I'm leaving Zuhra behind? Why would she be in Medina away from the family? Zainab, you know, every one of us, you, all of us, my children who are with me, all my children, they resemble my parents, they resemble my grandparent. Ali Akbar is the resemblance of my grandfather, Rasulullah. Fatima Kubra is the resemblance of Ali Murtaza. And my this daughter, Fatima Sughra, is the resemblance of my mother, Fatima Zahra. Zainab, now tell me, you have heard from your father and mother when you will be taken in the bazaar of Kufa and Sham. How can I let the picture of my mother be seen in Kufa and Sham?
يعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب يا محمود بحق محمد يا علا بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطر يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الحسن بحق حسين. Allah give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be the right path, wisdom to understand your guidance, hasten the reappearance of our Imam, make us his helper when he comes, increase our love for the Ahlul Bayt, make our feet firm on the path of Ahlul Bayt. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.